Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 11. Krishna's explaining different aids to mention, to remember him, as mentioned in three verses. 11. This is again chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. 12. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements. Closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head, one establishes himself in yoga. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Comment. Again, the important principle is Mam Anusmara. Practice yoga, practice celibacy, chant Om, and remember Krishna. Having explained the practices of yoga misra bhakti, or how one attests to yoga and liberation can remember him, Krishna next discusses pure devotional service. 14. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Comment. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport that pure bhakti is indicated in this verse by the words ananya chetaha, without deviation of the mind, Prabhupada explains. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in bhakti yoga. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation have also been described: karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the words ananya chetaha, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahma Jyoti or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Nishkam, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a jnana yogi, karma yogi, or hatha yogi has his own selfish interests, a perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to attain. Comment continues. Ananya chetaha means undeviating, with no desire for heavenly pleasure or liberation. Satatam and nityasa means always serving, with no break for one's entire life, without consideration of time and place. Krishna is so pleased by such an attitude that he becomes sulabha, easy to attain, even if one is not yet on that platform, but only desiring to reach it. Krishna removes all obstacles from such a devotee's path. A vivid example illustrating the importance of ananya chaita bhakti is found in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Once Lord Chaitanya went to evacuate. When he returned, he was holding his tongue. When the devotees saw this peculiar sight, they asked him why he was doing that. Mahaprabhu replied that his tongue was acting so improperly that it wouldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna even when he was engaged in such a filthy activity. Therefore, he was forced to hold his tongue to restrain it. At that time, a small boy named Gopal bravely spoke up, and Gopal said, "No, no, this isn't the correct philosophy. Krishna's names are pure and should be chanted at all times. For instance, if one were about to die, would he think, 'Oh, this is an inauspicious, dirty time, and therefore I shouldn't chant?' No, at all times, regardless of the external purity of the situation, one should remember Krishna and chant his names." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "You have properly understood the philosophy. You are my guru. You are Gopal Guru." Comment continues. Text 15 and 16 describe the results one achieves by practicing pure bhakti. 15. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Comment. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, such devotees enter Krishna's pastimes and happily take birth when Krishna appears in the house of Vasudev as his son. 16. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Comment. Krishna makes it clear that his planet is supreme. The term mam upetya, used in both texts 15 and 16, means, quote, achieving me. Krishna, through repetition, emphasizes this because he does not want us to be bewildered. He does not want us bewildered by a desire to go to the heavenly planets. He therefore clearly states that every situation in the material world is miserable. We should desire only mam upetya, to achieve him. To further establish this point, Krishna compares the material world with the spiritual nature in text 17 through 22. And we shall continue reading that next time. Hare Krishna.